praise. I want to say thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone. Lord, I thank you for those who are here this morning. Lord, I pray for those who are not here this morning, whatever the reason why they're not, oh, Father, we ask blessings upon their lives. Lord, we pray for our military. We honor our military. We thank you, Father God, for our soldiers. We ask, oh, Father, that you put a hedge of protection around them, especially those in harm's way, Lord. Bring them home safe and sound. We pray for their families also. Lord, we pray for our police, our firemen, first responders, medical, oh, Father God, and just a hedge of protection around them also. Lord, we pray for our government leaders. We ask, Father God, that you create a clean heart, renew a right spirit within each and every one of them. We ask, oh, Father, that you would just put godly people in every area of their life, and that they will seek wisdom from you and not of the world, oh, Father. We need to turn around in this country. So, Lord, forgive us in this great country that we live in. And it's the greatest country in the world. But Lord, we need forgiveness of how far we have turned our back on you, Lord. So Lord, and the only thing that can turn that around is you. So we ask for a revival. We ask that you pour out your spirit upon us, oh Father God, that we can have a Holy Ghost revival, not a man's revival, but a heavenly revival. Lord, we lift up our children, especially those in the wombs of the mothers. Lord, we pray, Father God, for those mothers who are planning on killing their babies, oh, Father, that you move upon their hearts and let them know that them children are a gift from God. They would not have conceived unless you allowed it. You have a purpose for these children, Lord. So we stand in the gap for the unborn today. We pray for those who are sick and injured in their bodies, oh, Father. We ask, oh, Lord Jesus, for the healing from the crown of the heads to the soles of the feet. We pray for the hungry today and the homeless, that you'll provide for them, oh, Father God. Heavenly Father, you must increase in our lives, and we must decrease each and every day. We want more and more and more of you, Lord. Lord, we only want what you want for us, oh, Father God, and nothing else. So have your way with us here today. Anything that's in us, oh, Father, that is not of you, we ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to take it out of us by any means necessary. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Lord, we send it to the pits of hell in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything that we're void of, Lord, we ask that you put it in us. The integrity, the nature, and the character of Jesus. The holiness and the righteousness of Jesus. The kindness and compassion of Jesus. Put it in us, oh, Father God, that we can have a walk worthy of your calling. Lord, have your way here today, Lord. Give us ears to hear what you have to say to us. Get me out of the way, Lord. Let it be no distractions. Father, we need to hear a word, oh, Father, that not only that we can and hear it, but Lord, we need a word that would transform our lives. So Lord, we pray for the universal church also, that the church will stop bringing the world into the church and pick the church into the world, that we will stand for righteousness and holiness and will not compromise. Lord, I pray for the persecuted Christians today too, are all around the world. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the freedoms and the liberties that we have, but we know persecution is coming at us shortly. So, Lord, give us what we need to stand boldly, Father God, for our confession of you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You know, this morning, I want to talk about hearing the word of God. Do we hear the word of God? Or do we hear another voice? You know, those of us who hear the word of God, you have to have ears to hear. You know, we have our natural ears. And we hear all kinds of things from the world. Kids go to Sunday school. Thank you. I'm sorry. Kids go to Sunday school. All you kids go to Sunday school. Have a good time. Yep. Okay, go behave. You're not going to get no ice cream today. Your brother's going to get ice cream. Praise the Lord. Yep. Amen. Strawberry. All right. Amen. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans 10, and I'm going to be sharing the word out of Acts, but I want to set this up with Romans 10. Romans 10 and starting in verse 14, when you get to say amen. Need a few more amens. You know, You know, God will change your course of life if you let him. Do you know that? God will give you a different direction in life if you let him. And if you can have ears to hear what he has to say. Are we there? Romans 10, and I'm going to start at verse 14. And the word of the God says, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? So you're hearing the word of God this morning by a preacher. Amen. Amen. Then it says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? You know, so many young people, they want to get into the ministry. They want to preach the gospel. They want to do different things in ministry, you know, for different motives. But if God does not send you, you're not going to be of no value to the kingdom. You know, there's a thing that we say, Pastor, some are sent and some just went. Some are sent and some just went, you know, because of financial or want of, you know, pride or just whatever. Let me tell you something. If you have a thing whereas you say, I want to be a preacher, I want to be a pastor, something wrong with you. You hear what I'm saying? Something wrong with you. You know, and it's a calling. God calls us. And what we do is many are called, but few are chosen. And what we do, we answer the call of God. We answer the call of God. And I'm so thankful that he called me out of darkness. You know, I remember when he first called me, you know, I ran from him for a long time. I made all kind of excuses like Moses did. You know, I can't preach. I can't be a pastor. My past, all the stuff that I've done, the iniquity and the sins and things that I've done. You know, how in the world that I'm going to be preaching to people about righteousness and holiness? And I was the most unholy person on the earth at one time. But see, what God does, he qualifies you. What God does is he takes those things out of you that is not of him and put things in you that it is of him. You know, and it's an infilling every day, all day long. You know, I'm being poured into all the time, you know, and taking the things out of me that should not be in me. Yes, I'm going to say it. You know, there's things in me that should not be in me. You know, I don't do sin and drinking and drugging and carousing and anything like that. But sometimes my mindset is not what it should be. Amen. Especially when people get on my last nerve. You know, it's a calling. Then it says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? And is it as it is written, how beautiful are the feet that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings and good things. Let me say something to you. You know, I hear a lot of sermons and things, you know, from different preachers, and they have eloquent words and big old long words and all these different things that I'm hearing that they preach. But my philosophy is this, and I've always had this. If I cannot preach to you or anybody else what I preach in Haiti, in Africa, in places like that, what good is it? What good is it? We have to preach the gospel. Jesus said, if you lift me up, I'll draw all men to you. Not all these programs and all of these different events and all these kind of things. It's about preaching Jesus Christ, period. That is what is going to save your soul. That is what is going to turn you around, is Jesus Christ. Not all this other crazy stuff, this new wave, new age stuff that's going around in the churches today. It's Jesus Christ, period. Yes, I'm old, and yes, I'm old school. But I truly believe that we need to preach Jesus Christ, period. Not all this other stuff that's going on. But anyway. And then it says, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me read that again. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not hearing what your theories are. Not hearing what your denominational doctrines are. But hearing the word of God. That's where true faith comes in, is hearing the word of God, the true word of God. Not adding anything to it, not taking anything away from it, but the simplicity word of God. When you preach the word of God, everybody should be able to understand what you're saying. Amen. So I'm hoping that you understand what I'm saying here today. So let's turn to the book of Acts. So we talked about, you know, how can you hear unless a preacher comes in and say what, you know, to tell you what the word of God is saying. Now, yes, we need to do Bible studies, and yes, we need to do individual studies and all that. Absolutely. That is so true. Absolutely. But, you know, sometimes with me, when I read the Bible, I don't understand everything in the Bible. So I have to take it a step further. And I either have to call, you know, one of my pastor buddies, or I have to get into, you know, the word of God and find out the references of God to see what the true meaning of the word of God means. It says, study to show yourself approved rightly unto God. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Rightly dividing the word of God. I want to know what the word of God says. And when I know what it says, I want to understand it. When I understand it, I want to glean it. I want to put it in me. I want to retain it. And then I want to apply it to my life. I don't want to read this like a novel, because it's not a novel. As we talked about here, I think it was last week, you know, the Bible, it's biblical. What it means is book. But this is a holy book. This is an inspired word of God. This is not something written by just anybody. It's inspired by the word of God. And I told y'all last week, be careful of the translations that you read, because a lot of the translations that you read, they're easy to read, but you're easily reading error. And that's what the enemy wants us to do. He don't mind you coming to church. He don't mind you reading the Bible. But what it is he don't want you to live the Bible. He don't want you to apply the Bible. So we have to know what the Bible is saying and know that it's true. So be careful of the translations that you're reading. I've heard years and years and years, oh, I don't understand this Bible here. Study it. Study it. But, you know, you get something that cut corners. And it's easy to read, but you're easily reading error. And we don't want you to have error. So anyway, here we go. Acts 8. Acts 8, and I'm going to start in verse 26. And we're talking about a man who was in a great revival. He was doing a great work in Samaria. There were miracles happening. People were getting saved. They were doing a great work in Samaria. And once again, had multitudes of people that was coming and doing great things. He was doing miracles. He was doing the word of God. But all of a sudden, verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip. Not you, Philip. The one before you. That's my brother Philip over there. As I was studying this, I got to thinking about my brother Philip. Anyway, and the angel, I'm so thankful for you, Philip. I don't know what to do, man. And I'm serious. You've been coming and coming. And Lizzie, too. I got my sister over here and my brother over here. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. And I mean that. I love y'all. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south into the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. Now, he's having a wonderful time healing people, casting demons out, preaching the word of God, and people are getting saved. Wonderful time. But God told him, he said, Philip, I'm going to change your direction. I want you to come out of this, what you're doing. You've been doing a great job here, but I got something else for you to do. Well, wait a minute, Lord, you're using me here. People are getting saved, they're getting healed, they're getting delivered, and all this thing. And now you're going to send me someplace else. Why can't I stay here and continue to do the great work that I'm doing here? I'm going to tell you why, because I told you to go somewhere else. Amen. Have you ever had your mama or your daddy tell you to do something and you say, well, why? Because I said so. Anybody, mom and dad, ever told you? Because I said so. Praise the Lord. Because God said so. Did he argue with God? It says in verse 27, and he arose and went. He arose and went. And behold, a man from Ethiopia, a eunuch. A eunuch is somebody back in those days that was castrated. And they would use them, the king would use them, either in his harem was, where he had all his concubines and his wife. They would minister to them. Or there were other eunuchs that was not castrated, but they were used in like the treasuries and different things. They called them eunuchs. Now, we don't know if this man was castrated or not, but it says that he was a eunuch. And it says that says a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia. Now, it was said that Candace, she was the successor or Queen of Sheba was the Queen of Sheba, but she took the Queen of Sheba's place years after that. And so he was the queen's treasurer who had charge of all of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for the worship. So he was a proselyte. He was an Ethiopian, but he went to Jerusalem to worship. You know what I'm saying? He went to Egypt to worship. And it says, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah, which is Isaiah, the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to his chariot. Now, the Spirit has spoken to him twice. Wants you to get up out of this great thing that you're doing, all this healing and preaching and people getting saved. But I want you to go to a desert place, a place where there's nobody down there. Coming from a great place was a big, big church. People getting saved, people getting healed, people getting delivered. Now I want you to go to this itty bitty place. Now I want to share something with you. And I've shared this before. You know, I have he's gone to be with the Lord now. But I have a relative who was a pastor at a church in my hometown. And he had for years wanted me to come. And I would come from time to time and preach at the church. And he had wanted me when he got sick. He says, I want you to come here and take over for me, you know, because you're family. And so I said, well, cuz, let me pray about it. But it only took me maybe 2 or 3 minutes to pray about it, you know, because he had a large church. He had several thousand people in his church, and it was not a multicultural church. And I knew that God did not call me to a segregated church. Amen. I knew that. And so I said, cuz, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to stay where I'm at. He says, I got more people on staff than you have in your church. I said, well, praise the Lord. You know, he had 300 people on staff. Then he says, we have a home for you, a 5-bedroom home, you know, and it's a wonderful, wonderful home for you. And he said, not only that, he says, you'll get a brand new Mercedes Benz every other year. And he says, and your salary will be 6 figures starting out. So pastor kind of stuttered a little bit there. I said, well, wait a minute. But I knew what God had called me. You understand what I'm saying? And the church now, they just got a $2 million renovation and building. And so now the church now, I think it has about 7,000-9,000 people, you know, in the church. But I know that God has called me here. You understand what I'm saying? Because I'm looking at this one and I'm looking at that one. I'm looking at my dad, my mom, you know, who I led to the Lord. You know, if I had went and done that for gain, because that's what it would have been for gain. A big old 5-bedroom home, a new Mercedes, 6-figure salary. You know what I mean? 300 people up under me. He said, all you have to do is preach. You ain't got to be doing no Bible study, no teaching, no counseling or nothing. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm a pastor. God has given me a shepherd's heart. I want to know your name. I want to know your children's name. I want to know your grandchildren's name. I want to come to your house and eat chicken. I want you to bring me muffins and pies and all the cookies and everything else. You know, and I went home here several years ago. And the young man who took over the church, he has bodyguards standing in front of the pulpit. Now, I've been knowing this young man ever since he was a little boy. Me and his relatives used to run together. And when I went after the service, you know, I went to greet the young man, and his bodyguards came up in front of me. He said, "You can't go up there." I said, "I've been doing this much." He said, "We don't care. You got to get an appointment to see him." I said, "Well, okay. I guess I won't see him then." But, you know, that's not what God has called me to do. He's called me to preach and teach to you and this community and wherever he calls me to go. And it says that, and the Spirit of the Lord said unto Philip, "Go near and join yourself into the chariot." And Philip ran. He didn't walk. He ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said unto him, and said, "Understandest thou what you read?" You're reading this, but do you understand it? How many of us have been reading the Bible and don't understand it? Amen. But once again, back in Romans, it says, how can you understand unless somebody comes and give you an understanding of it? How can you understand, you know, unless they send a preacher for them to give you an understanding where you can take this and apply it to your daily life, not just hear the word of God. But once again, faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And he says, this is what the eunuch said. He says, how can I accept a man should guide me? How can I understand unless I have somebody who understands the word of God and gives me the understanding of the word of God? If I don't have the understanding of the word of God, how am I going to give it to you? That's why I have to spend more time with God than I do with you and anybody else. Do you hear what I'm saying? I have to spend more time with God in God's word, studying God's word, so I can reveal the word of God to you. And do I have error? Absolutely, I do. You know, sometimes I do have error and make mistakes. But I thank God that we have people that come to me and say, "Pastor," you know, privately. And I say, "Thank you. Thank you." And I mean that. You know, if I'm in error, if I speak wrong or something, you know, thank you. I know the other day that somebody came to me and said, "Pastor, you were talking about peculiar people, but you said particular." Praise the Lord. You know, I didn't think about that because, you know, sometimes when I get to rolling, I might say anything. But, we were talking about peculiar people, but I was talking about particular. Some of y'all particular, too. And peculiar. But praise the Lord. Anyway. And it says that he says, "How can I accept a man guide me?" And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. He said, "Philip, I'm reading this passage here, but I don't understand it." He said, "Would you come and get into my chariot and give me some? Let's have a Bible study in the desert, in my chariot." And then it says, the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgments was taken away. Who should declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speakest thou? The prophet Isaiah, of himself, or some other?" I know the prophet wrote this. Is he talking about himself? Because I'm a little confused. I don't understand. Who is he talking about here? And then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Oh, I love that. Oh, I love that. This man was reading the scriptures as he was going, but he didn't understand it. What good is reading the scriptures if you have no understanding? That's like having a recipe book and reading it and have no understanding how to put the stuff in the pie or cake or whatever you're doing. It's going to be a mess, isn't it? But if you have an understanding how how you take a measurement of a half a cup of sugar, two eggs, you know, and whatever else you put into a pie, you know, whatever. You follow directions, you're going to come out with something that's good. But if you don't and you try to do it like I do a lot of the times, you know, you'll come up with something that you have to throw out. And you done messed up all the ingredients. And once again, he said, and he preached Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. Now, why did he say, see, here's water? They came up on some water. Why did the eunuch say, see, here's water? I'm glad you asked me. And it says that, and they went to a certain water. And the eunuch says, see, this is water. What doeth hinder me from being baptized? How did he know to be baptized, church? Because Philip preached Jesus. Philip preached Jesus to him. And Philip says, if thou believest, here we go. Now listen to this. He was in the temple worshiping, but he was not a believer. He was in the temple worshiping, but he was not a believer. He was in the First Baptist Church, but he was not a believer. And it says, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh, my God. How did he come to that conclusion? He could have been riding his chariot all the way back to Ethiopia and reading these passages, but never got the revelation of what this really means. But Philip preached Jesus to him. Not no theories, not what he thought that he should do, not all of these meetings and different things. He preached Jesus because Jesus said, if you lift me up, I'll draw all men unto you. Ethiopians, Asians, Hispanics, African-Americans, whites, and whoever, if we preach Jesus. And listen to what he says. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip from the eunuch, and that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way. After Philip obeyed God and did what he did, the Spirit of the Lord took him out of there, and the eunuch didn't see him no more. But the eunuch had what he needed, was Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? He had what he needed, was Jesus. He didn't know he needed Jesus until the man of God told him, unless a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. I don't care how much worshiping and church and Bible reading you do. Until you come to a place where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and you have yielded your life to Jesus, there's no effect until Jesus get a hold of you. Now, let me share something with you. A man told me this here a while ago, and I'm so thankful that I'm saved as much as I am when he said this to me. And he was very serious, and I've heard it before. And he says, you being African-American, you need to thank God that you were your people were in slavery. And I just looked at him. I said, what do you mean? He said, because if your people was not in slavery, they would have not come to America. And if they had not come to America, they would have not heard about Jesus. I'm so glad I was saved. Now I'm thinking to myself, how crazy is that? How crazy is that? For me, for my people to be taken into slavery and beat and disrespected for over 400 years. And he says, the reason you ought to thank God that your people was in slavery. Let me tell you something. This man was an African before slavery. You hear what I'm saying? And when Philip proclaimed the gospel to him, he got saved. And guess what he did when he went home to Africa? The gospel was spread throughout Africa before slavery. You hear what I'm saying? Before slavery. The Lord took this man, Philip, who was in Samaria. People were getting saved, getting healed, getting delivered. He took him from that great revival and took him to a desert place to one single man. I tell you, one-on-one is the most effective ministry that we can have. One-on-one. You know, throughout the years when I'm down at the jail, you know, we have meetings down at the jail. But when you're in the meetings in the jail, especially the men, you know, and you're preaching the gospel to them. But they have to have an appearance of being tough. You know, you can't show yourself weak in the jail. So they have to be tough. But when I go there through the week and I call them one-on-one, that's when they're broken. That's when these big old men with all these muscles, they start weeping and crying. See, they can't do that in front of the other inmates. But when you get them one-on-one, that's when they're broken. That's when you can minister to them and they can have ears to hear. That's when they're receptive to hear what the Word of God has said. So I'm saying to you, the same commission that God had gave Philip, he's given to every one of us who are born again. Every one of us have a commission to go tell people about Jesus, just like he did. There's four things I've written down here, what we should do and tell God every day. What do you want me to do today, Lord? Do we say that in the morning? What do you want me to do today, Lord? Now, I know you have jobs, you have families, there's things you have to do. But Lord, what do you want me to do today? Because you're the most important. Number two is, how do you want me to do it? How do you want me to act today and how do you want me to do it today, Lord? And then, number three, when do you want me to do it, Lord? You know, there's times and seasons for different things. God had prepared this eunuch. He had prepared his heart to receive the gospel. Sometimes, you know, when we minister to people, they don't receive it. I remember that people used to come up to me and want to talk to me about Jesus. I didn't want to hear about it. Don't talk to me about no Jesus. I don't want to hear about no God. You see, my heart was hard and it was dark. But once again, Jesus says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." But sometimes, you know, we got to let God prepare the hearts of our family members and loved ones before they can hear the truth. Amen. I can't tell you how many people that I've talked to throughout the years and they didn't want to hear, didn't want to hear, didn't want to hear it. And next thing you know, I get a call on the phone. "I'm saved, Pastor." I'm thinking, well, I tried to tell you that years ago. But they just wasn't prepared to hear it back then. But I planted seeds, you know, some plant seeds and some water, but God gives the increase. God gives the increase. So we need to be like Johnny Appleseed, planting them seeds of Jesus. Are we doing that, church? Or are we just hearing the word of God and going home and keeping it to ourselves? Are we ministering to our family and our neighbors and our loved ones? And this is number four. How can I best represent you today, Lord? How can I bring glory to your name today, Lord? What do you want me to do? How you want me to do it? When you want me to do it? And how can I bring glory to your name, Lord? How can I be pleasing unto your sight? But I can't be pleasing to your sight if I don't know what you want me to do. You see, Philip was doing a wonderful job. God told him to go from this great, great place that he was doing, all these people that was getting saved, and took him to a desert place to one man. And this one man received the gospel. He yielded his life to Jesus. Then he went back home and spread the gospel to the nation of Africa. How do we know when we minister to one person, what it would do. Y'all heard the thing that we did here about the Good News Club here last week, about the two little twin girls. They went to the Good News Club after school. They heard about Jesus. They got saved and went home and were telling their mom and daddy about what how good Jesus is and Jesus' love and everything. The daddy was an alcoholic. They came to church because the kids kept telling them about the goodness and the love of Jesus. And he said, let me go see what this is about. And both of them came and both of them got saved and got baptized. The whole family got baptized at the same time out of the mouth of babes. You see, we don't know what the word of God will do, but we have to spread the word of God. When God put people in the path of your life, what do we do? Do we keep our mouth closed? Or do we proclaim the gospel? And I'm not saying you got to preach and you got to teach. You know, nobody, all the years that I've been a Christian and I've been ministering, nobody has ever said, I don't want to hear about how God delivers you. Nobody. When I tell the people I hadn't always been a pastor, you know, I was a dope fiend. I was a criminal. Done time in prison. I was a liar and everything else. And I said, but I'm no longer that. Do you know how I got delivered? I didn't go to rehab. I didn't go to no 12-step program. I went to one step, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He gave me a new heart, a new mind, a new nature. Nobody has ever said, I don't want to hear about why you're not still a dope fiend or a criminal. Because it gives them hope. It gives them hope. And I told y'all here a few weeks ago, you know, one Sunday, what we're going to do, and we've done it several times, we're just going to have a testimony Sunday where people come and share their testimony. And then I know what y'all say. I ain't going to get them from nobody. I ain't going to tell nobody about it. What if somebody is here that needs to hear a word, what God has done for you, and have hope that they'll do it for them too? You might have been suicidal, but God kept you from killing yourself. You might have been a prostitute, but God brought you out of there. You know, years ago, and I've shared this story before, you know, years ago, I think it was first when I first started the ministry here, there was a woman that walked in. She sat right there with Miss Judy sitting right there. And she walked in and she had a big old wig on. She had all this makeup on. You know what I mean? And you could see that she was a woman of the night. And she had on this hot pink miniskirt that came about where my jacket is. And these high heel shoes and fishnet stockings. And she sat right there. And the whole time I was doing service, she had her head down and she was moving her head like this here. She just kept rocking and putting her head down, rocking and putting her head down. And at the end of the service, what I do, and I do it every time, I'm going to do it today too, I gave an altar call. And she got up. And when she lifted up her head, all that makeup that she had on, that eyeshadow and stuff, it had ran down her face. She had black streaks and stuff all running down her face and from tears. And she came down and she stood down here. And you know how I do it. We would join hands and we would kneel. I said, we're not going to kneel today. We're going to stand up. Because God knows that we're kneeling in our hearts. You know, I didn't want to embarrass her. But this girl got saved. She truly got saved. She come back the next week with no makeup on, no wig on. She had a skirt that came down below her knees. She came back the next week and she brought one of the young girls who walked the streets with her over here on High Street. Up here on High Street and Academy or whatever. That's in the nighttime. I know nobody know about that, do you? Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. Anyway, let's move on. So what she would do, she would go out where she used to work and tell them girls about Jesus. And she was infamous in this city. Infamous. She was known. And they saw the change in this woman. They saw the true change in this woman. And so her ministry was she would go out and she would bring them into the church and they would get saved. And you know where she is now? She went back home. She's from the Bronx. She went back home. And that's what she's doing today. Is going out to the highway and byways, to the least of them. And she's ministering to these women out there that are selling their bodies, doing drugs, and tell them there's a better way, and his name is Jesus. So what if that woman, she come and got saved and wouldn't say nothing to nobody? A closet Christian. Everybody else coming out the closet. Why can't we? Why can't we come out the closet and tell people about Jesus? Tell people about what he's done for you and not be ashamed of it. You know, a lot of people are ashamed. Oh, I ain't gonna tell no people that I used to be an alcoholic. I ain't gonna tell no people I used to be a drug addict. I ain't gonna tell no people I used to be a thief. Let me tell you something. God knows who you used to be, but you're no longer that person. Like I say, it might be somebody sitting out here today that's going through what you go in what you in. And you can tell them there's a better way. There's a hope, and his name is Jesus. Like I say, you ain't got to preach to them and teach to them. You know, just show them the love and kindness of Jesus. And if they don't accept it, you planted the seed. You planted the seed. Once again, some plant, others water, but God gives the increase. You never know what a kind word to let people know what God has done for you will do for somebody in the future. So we're going to be having a testimony Sunday. Coming up, I'll let you know a couple of weeks before, so y'all can get prayed up and get your strength up. You know what I mean? And not be scared. Yeah, not scared, scared. Because God didn't give us a spirit of fear, though, did he? But a power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. So God took Philip out of a great work and brought him to a small work. Despise not small beginnings. Despise not small beginnings. See, God can take them small beginnings and multiply, just like he did with the 5,000. Actually, it's more than 5,000 because they had wives and kids. When the little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish for his lunch, and he gave it to Jesus. See, he gave Jesus everything that he had, and Jesus took that small thing and multiplied it and fed over 5,000 people and had more left over. How good is that? So take what God has done for you and let people know that there's a better way. You don't have to continue living sin. You don't have to continue be out here, be an alcoholic or a dope addict or a thief or whatever you might be. There's a better way, and his name is Jesus. And I want you to know that I want to bring you to church with me next Sunday. You know, if everybody were here, would get one person and bring them to church. Just one. Bring them to church. The Spirit of God uses the man or woman of God to deliver the word of God to produce a born-again man or woman. Let me read that again. The Spirit of the Lord uses the man or woman of God to deliver the word of God to produce a born again man or woman. It starts with us. It starts with us, church. Sometimes God changes our direction suddenly. Suddenly. You know, I know I was on my way to hell, one-way ticket express, and God got a hold of me suddenly. Y'all know my testimony. You know, I just got off the road doing my gigging. You know, I was a musician. And my bass player's mother would feed us. She would cook a feast for us. She's from the South. Collard greens, fried chicken. I'm not talking about this microwave stuff. I mean, she cooked stuff from scratch. And every time we go there to eat, You boys need to come to church. You boys need to get saved. You boys need Jesus. I said, man, I can't even eat good without your mama talking about Jesus and getting saved. And I said, what we're going to do, Philly, is we're going to go to church. We're going to go to church. Because I'm sick of your mama on my back. I can't even eat good. So that Sunday morning, he came and found me. We was at a party, as we always do. And he said, well, you still want to go to church? Because, you know, church starts in a little bit. I said, man, you know. But I got to thinking about, you boys need Jesus. You boys need to come to church. So we got Visine put in our eyes. You know, try to straighten up our clothes like we just got up in the morning. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Been up partying all night. Got to do something in the morning. So anyway, as we're going to church, I said, Phil, this is what we're going to do. We're going to sit in the back. After we see your mama and your mama see us, she sees we come to church. We're going to sit in the back by the back door. And once she sees us, we're going to sneak out the back door. She said, come to church. She didn't say stay. So he said, okay. Now, Phil was raised in the church. But when I got a hold of him, Lord have mercy. It was not good. It was not good. But anyway. So we go to church, his mama says, she, oh, praise the Lord, everybody, here's my son and his friend. We've been, and all the women, we've been praying for y'all for years, and y'all finally here, and praise the Lord. Here's the pastor, we'll introduce you to the pastor and all this type of stuff. We're like, yeah, you know, we, like I said, we've been up all night. We're trying to, you know, stand straight. So anyway, she's on the worship team. They call it a choir back then. They're in the choir loft. You know, and they wore robes and all that kind of stuff. The robe. Matter of fact, we got robes upstairs, worship team. But anyway, so we in there, and she goes up and starts singing, and everybody's standing up like we do. And it's a bigger church, and we sitting in the back. You know, I'm sitting about right over here. You know what I mean? And the back door is right there. And so Philly looked at me in the elbow. He said, we can go now. I said, not yet, Phil. I said, I see a couple of these good-looking church girls. Let me get the numbers. I'm just being honest. That's the type of person I was. I didn't care if he was a church girl. I didn't care if he was a preacher's daughter or whatever. Back then, I didn't care. Show you how I was. And I said, let me get a couple of these numbers. So I'm winking and at the girls like, write your number down, son. You know, and they turn around grinning to my... And I'm waiting for them to pass me the number. And the next thing I remember, I'm right here in front of the whole congregation. On my knees. With my hands in the air, weeping like a baby. And I said, Lord, I surrender. Something at that moment came into me. I didn't know what it was at the time. But I knew it was real. And this, what came into me, changed my life forever. From that time to this very second, my life has been yielded to Jesus. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. I have struggles and issues like everybody else. But I'm going to tell you something. I love Jesus because he loved me. He didn't give up on me. Even though I was there for the wrong motives, God got a hold of me that day. He got a hold of me that day. And let me tell you something. I'm so thankful that he got a hold of me that day. And I'm pursuing him every day because he pursued me. Even when I was out there being a heathen, a devil worshiper, a Muslim, into Santa Gria, voodoo, and Yoruba, he was pursuing me. And I'm so thankful he didn't give up on me. And he won't give up on you either. Or your loved ones. Because we all got family members that need to get saved, don't we? Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for this one and this one here. I don't know what to do. I'm so thankful for y'all being here. You have no idea me being the pastor of the church to look out every Sunday and see my family. Thank you. Thank you. And my dad would be here too, and my mom too, if they wasn't sick. Keep my parents in your prayers. You know, they're 89 years old, but they need some prayers. Amen. And I want to thank y'all for praying for me and thank you for praying for them too. But I'm saying this here to say this. You have heard the word of God today. Seeds have been planted today. So if you're here this morning and you have not been serious about yielding your life to Jesus, he's knocking on the door of your heart today, telling you to open up the door of your heart. And he said, I will come in regardless of what you have done, regardless of what you're doing now. He'll come in. Oh, and let me tell you something. And when he comes in, your life will be changed. And it'll be changed for the best. Once you taste of his goodness, you don't have to seek nothing else. Because he will satisfy you. He will satisfy you. Whatever you need, he will satisfy you. So if you're here today, and you've been coming, like the eunuch, he was worshiping, but he wasn't saved. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And you're saved only by faith. Only by faith are you saved. Not works. Not works. But only yielding your life to Jesus. So if you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit is upon you like he was with the eunuch and Philip, if you're feeling the unction in your spirit this morning, God is telling you, I want to bring you out of darkness into my marvelous light. So when you take your last breath, you will be with me. You will be the thief on the cross never ever thought that he would ever go to heaven. None of his family members, none of the guys he used to do all these crimes with, nobody else. But when he was up on that cross, he looked over Jesus. With all the crimes, the criminal elements that he had, he looked over to Jesus and said, remember me. And Jesus turned around and looked at him. He says, today, you will be with me in paradise. Today, not when you go to church, not when you read your Bible, but today, because you've acknowledged me as the Son of God. Today, remember me, Lord. We're getting what we deserve. We deserve this cross, but you don't. So today, Lord, remember me. Jesus said, When you take your last breath, let me tell you something. You're going to be with me in heaven. And nobody knows when our last breath is going to be. We one heartbeat away from taking our last breath. We could have a heart attack right now. This building could fall right now. Kill everybody in here. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready to meet Jesus today? That's what you need to ask yourself. And if you say, I don't know, I hope, I wish, maybe Mike, that's not good enough. You can come today. So if you're here today, I'm going to ask you to come and let the Spirit lead you. Don't come because of what I've said to you. I don't want to influence you, but let the Holy Spirit influence you. So if that's you today, I'm going to ask you to come. And don't be ashamed. Just get up and come. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen, Michael. Don't be upset with me. Jesus loves you. So, is there anybody else in here? There is other people in here that you should be up here, and you know who you are. You know exactly who you are. And who you think is telling you to stay in your seat? Who do you think is telling you to stay in your seat? But let me tell you something. Pray this prayer with us, and God will meet you in your seat. God will meet you where you are. The Bible says, if I make my bed in hell, he said, he is there with me. Wherever you might be, God will meet you. Amen. 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 So I want us to let's join together. And let's pray this prayer together. You pray, repeat this prayer after me, okay? Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come before you today. I'm confessing.
That I am a sinner.
I'm asking you, Lord.
I'm asking you, Lord,
to forgive me
of all my sins.
And to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus. I know that you're the Son of God.
And that you died on the cross.
That you shed your blood. For my sins. You
rose again.
And you're seated in heaven. Next to our Heavenly Father.
This day.
I yield my life to you.
I no longer
belong to myself. But I belong to you, Jesus. So Lord, from this day forward.
Direct me.
Keep me.
Break me.
Make me.
Into the person of God.
That you want me to be.
I accept this free gift.
Of salvation.
By faith.
Only in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you.